to all the ladies in the place. Under some pressure, hit and set by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back.
The old Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mac and my crew's behind me.
I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the need. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers.
What's up, Green Bay Packers fans? We've been gone a long time. I guess we apologize about that, but we are back with a vengeance and really excited to break down this divisional round win over the Seattle Seahawks. Your Green Bay Packers are on their way to the fourth NFC championship game during the career. Aaron Rodgers, fifth, I guess, if you count 2007, but he wasn't the starting quarterback at that time. The obvious news is that the Packers won and the Vikings lost, which sets up a rematch from earlier this season, wherein the Packers are facing the San Francisco 49ers. And it is at least the third consecutive time that they have gone to the gone to the NFC Championship for a rematch. In 2014, they had already lost to the Seahawks that season. In 2016, they had already lost to the Falcons in that season. And in 2019, everybody knows how that San Francisco 49ers game went. The other little bit of news that everybody's going to be paying attention to is that everybody had the flu. The entire team, Devontae Adams had I'm not even going to call it infamous. I'm just going to call it famous. The famous quote, everybody wash your hands, wash your butts. That was Devontae's sage advice to keep the team relatively healthy, but they were losing guys left and right. Josh Jackson was on the inactive list, unable to play his reserve corner / special teams role on Sunday. They also lost starting right tackle Brian Bulaga to the flu, wherein Jared Veld here took over for him as he did in Detroit and played absolutely fantastically. And we're going to write something about that today on Packer Report. So, guys, check that out. With absolutely no further ado, though, we need to bring on the star of the show, Mr. Gilbert Brown. Gravedigger, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just sitting around watching all this good football this weekend and getting ready for this weekend again.
Yeah, it's starting to come to a close. It's no secret to most people that I cover North Dakota State in addition to my duties with the Packers, and their season ended with a national championship. But obviously, there's no more of that football left. And either in a week or in 3 weeks, there's going to be no Packers football left. And pretty much we're going to be flat out of football. It's going to be XFL season. And I think it's important that everybody clings on to these moments and
when does that
and remembers. I think the XFL starts in February.
Really?
Well, yeah, because I think they want to get that need right. Like so, yeah, it's February 8th, so it starts the Saturday after the Super Bowl. I mean, they want to get those hungry football fans. And they want to get them rocking. So, oddly enough, I'll make sure I'm right on this in a second. But the championship for the XFL is going to kick off like right after draft coverage stops, and it's going to be on ESPN. So, people that understand that the draft is Thursday Okay, that's the old format. The draft is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I misspoke. The draft is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The Sunday after the draft wraps up is the XFL championship. Sunday, April 26th, which will be my 32nd birthday, is when the title is. So the XFL is going to run from February 8th until April 26th. So that's the deal. That is That's going to be your football life from February until the draft. And obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, most of you are probably big-time Packers draft heads anyway, and we're going to have phenomenal draft coverage for you both on Packer Report and right here on the Packer Report podcast. Gilbert, I want to talk to you a little bit about this week because it's not the Super Bowl week in the sense, or the Super Bowl format in the sense of when you win the NFC Championship, you get a week off. You know, you have media week, et cetera, in the city that the Super Bowl is held. You get that extra week to prepare. I think it used to be the Pro Bowl week, you know, used to be in between there, obviously. And I just wanted to like check in and how you are, you know, how you're feeling, how this is kind of nerve wracking or not, or just how's this week? Because you know that you have a chance for your ultimate goal if you just get through these next 60 minutes.
Well, when you look at this game, the week preparation for this game, it gets a little different. You know what I'm saying? Guys starting to realize what's at stake, you know, and depending on what situation are you in, if you're a wild card or if you're number one or number two seed, that stuff makes a difference. People don't understand. some teams need that week off. Let you have 2 weeks to prepare for a team and let you figure out where you stand. Right now, game like this is big time because now it's soul searching time. We already got our ass kicked once by them. We don't want that to happen again. So we got to find a way to win. We got to find a new wrinkle. And I always tell that story about when we went up to San Francisco in 95, everybody on the defense stayed late, watching film, trying to find an angle to beat these guys when we went up there to Frisco, trying to find an angle. We found it. We found a game plan. We stuck to it no matter what, and the outcome was great. So this week of preparation is going to be the key to us winning this game.
I want to ask you the difference, and we'll get into some of this too when we do the actual preview and stuff, but I want to ask you the difference between this week as an underdog and this week as a favorite, because I think in 1995, when you guys went to Dallas and got beaten, I think that was the third year in a row. The first two was, you know, divisional round, and this was the title, the NFC title game. But what was the difference between that when you weren't expected to win and then they get beat? The following season when you guys are the best team in the league, they get beat and you end up hosting a Carolina Panthers team at home that nobody's really given a chance. I mean, what is this team kind of dealing with? What is the theme? What are the coaches talking about as an underdog as opposed to, you know, when you guys were kind of expected to win?
Yeah, me personally, man, I rather would be the underdog than the favorite. Because I think the favorite, the more pressure's on you because you're supposed to win. You know, when you're the underdog, you don't supposed to win. So, you know, for us, it's like, okay, I in this situation, it's good to be the underdog because they're not expecting you to come in. Where they play at? Where Frisco play? What's the name of their place? I don't know. Wherever it is.
Levi Stadium. There you go. It's in Santa Clara.
Tight Levi Stadium. So we're going up in tight jeans, Levi Stadium, and being the underdog, to me, is the best situation because now when we go in there, everybody's expecting Frisco to win and us not to show up. But it's going to be a different story. That's what the coaches are telling them. You know what I'm saying? The coaches are telling them they are already thinking they're in the Super Bowl. Because they don't respect you. And these guys got to take every bit of that, hone that into them and into themselves and go out and win this game. Because in this game, this is where the best of the NFC comes out. And we want to be the best. We've been harping on it all year. We've been having tough games. Nobody, the theme of the year is what? Find a way to win. And that's what we got to do on Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah, and the theme of the year, honestly, too, has just been that they aren't that good. And I'm not saying that that's been our theme of the year, but the national media, you know, whether it's the radio guys or the TV guys or the internet guys or whoever, you know, and maybe they'll end up, you know, being right. I would say that they're already wrong with Green Bay being, you know, in the Final Four. But, you know, a lot of folks just talk about this team like they can't believe they're 13-3 and now they can't believe they're in the NFC Championship game. And, you know, pretty soon there's a chance that they're going to not be able to believe that they're in the Super Bowl. So that's been kind of the overarching, in my opinion, theme is just that, you know, people are just not that convinced that these guys are that good. And I mean, I can understand that. I do. But you know, it's tough. It's tough when you're in the Final Four with a 13 win team, now a 14 win team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine this though? Can you imagine? Let's, if we beat them and Kansas City beats, that's Super Bowl I reunion all over again.
And what a cool story for this, the, you know, NFL 100 season.
Oh,
and,
my God.
You know, it's not the 100th anniversary of the Super Bowl, but right. what a great way for the league, you know, to have those two franchises in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl I reunion.
So when they say game 7 is rigged, they got to get out. Well, I hope they rigged this one. So
yeah.
So we can get this matchup.
Yeah, Roger, if you're listening, Gilbert would like Green Bay and Kansas City to right. you know, to advance. Yeah, no, that, I mean, it would be awesome though. And honestly, too, from a marketability perspective, I know it's, you know, people say, oh, it's middle America. The Chiefs and the Packers are incredibly popular teams. And Rodgers and Mahomes are super marketable guys. You know, the league, I think the league's going to be a lot more scared about the ratings and stuff if it's Ryan Tannehill against Jimmy Garoppolo than if it's Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. But Vegas thinks it's going to be Garoppolo versus Mahomes. And I would say, you know, if I had a gun to my head, I'd probably, you know, pick that way too. But you certainly with Derrick Henry, you've got a chance. And boy, you know, if Rodgers plays like he did against Seattle, I think Green Bay has every chance in the world as well. All right, we need to take a quick break to thank the title sponsor of this show, and that is the fact that this show is the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall, our favorite haunt when we head to Green Bay. Gilbert, were you there this past weekend with a little tailgate party prior to the Seahawks
game? Man, it was standing room only. Do you hear me? Standing room only. I got in there, man, and I usually try to get in there 2.5-3 hours before kickoff. And they had to clear the pathway so I can get from the door to the table. That's how many people were in the way. So I was like, oh my God, where all these people come from? And then when I was going over, because I went over to the game, it was still packed in there. It was still packed. So the people that was going to the game left, and it was still packed in there, man. So it was a great experience, great time. My hat's off to everybody over there. Amber does an awesome job over there. So my hat's off to him.
Yeah, and I think that's a key. You know, it's not just a pregame destination. It's, if you don't have tickets to the game, go watch at Stadium View. It's almost like being at the game. I mean, you're with a bunch of your Packer friends. You're, you know, it's loud in there. People cheer when something good happens, boo when something bad happens. It's not the same as being in Lambeau Field, but it's in the vicinity. And I have to agree with you, man. When we had that live show, I got done with, you know, the players and stuff and whatever. And holy cow. I got to the point where it was like, okay, I've got a box full of hats and shirts that were given away. And if people don't start moving, I'm going to start swinging this box, because it was absolutely packed to the gills. It was clear that I was trying to get somewhere important. And, you know, after that Bears win, people really didn't care. So it was, but it was fun. And we really appreciated everybody that showed up, had such a fantastic time at the live show, and really have had an awesome time having Stadium View be our title sponsor. They've been really good to us in getting this bad boy off the ground. So we really appreciate them. All right, let's break it down. I thought Coach LaFleur's script, that first 15 plays, was really good. You end up with a super fast start, a fast start that, you know, honestly could have been even faster. What did you think of that fumble situation?
Man, you know what, man? The things like that are never good or bad or indifferent for anybody. It's all about concentration, man. You know, they always say when you're playing the game, and it's true, when you're playing the game, sometimes 72,000 people, you don't hear a thing sometimes, you know? And it's crazy how you get into that type of they call it tunnel vision or whatever. And then sometimes when you come out of that vision, is the ball in my hand? Is it on the ground? How did it get there? I mean, it's crazy how that is, man, because you're so in tune that bad things or good things can happen when you're in the zone, man.
Yeah, I struggled with the officials' explanation on that deal.
We had some of them out there.
Yeah. You know, they missed. I can see how they missed the call. I can understand that. You know, he was upside down. The ball, it certainly looked like the ground could have forced the fumble. But if you get to the end of pulling the pile apart and a Green Bay Packer hands you the football, how is it that you then say there wasn't a clear recovery? The clear recovery was made by the gentleman that handed you the football at the end of the play. But, you know, they don't pay me the big bucks, I guess. That's above my pay grade. Anyway, but Green Bay gets out to a fantastic start, a really good opening script by Coach LaFleur. What did you think of those first 15 offensive plays? You had the big run by Jones, but then they were working in the kick returner, Tyler Irvin. He got like a little reverse deal, and then they had the play action game working. What did you like about the way Green Bay came out kind of guns blazing there after a really slow start the last time they played against Detroit?
Well, you know what, man? Look across the line of scrimmage, and you got, who was it, Clowney and a couple other guys. I really like Bobby Wagner. I love that kid. He's a good football player. You got to keep them on their toes. You see what I'm saying? And that's what he did with those play calls. He didn't keep it complacent where they can start. He wanted to get the things moving on the field and in the stands. So when you're putting that type of excitement out there, you know, the momentum is in your hand, if you can understand what I'm saying. And that's how he was pushing it. That's how he was pushing the tempo. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to keep them on their heels. And I think they worked for a good part of that first half.
It did, and they end up jumping out, you know, to the big lead. Everybody's feeling pretty good, and you know who was really feeling good, and I think it had to do with that bye week, was Devontae Adams. He looked as healthy as he's looked since he was torching the Eagles in that game that he got hurt in. Man, for a team built kind of right now around Shaq Griffin, as far as he's that one corner that you feel really good about, they did not do a great job of getting Griffin lined up on and Adams and slowing him down, because number 17 was absolutely eating.
Lights out, man. You know, that's but see, everybody, and this is why coming into this game, everybody knows the young cats got to understand too, it's time to turn the notch up. And you saw this team turn a notch up in that first half. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it was like taking charge and doing the things because the Seattle Seahawks ain't no slouch. They got heavy hitters on their side of the ball too. But these guys, we've been there before. We need to understand how to take charge. And Davante Adams just wanted everybody to know I'm back.
Yeah, he played really well. Wasn't the only, you know, receiving option to play really well, but he played really, really well.
Probably best game in how many games?
Yeah, I mean, I would say definitely since he was ripping Philly up because he set the Packers record for receiving yards in a playoff game, scored twice.
Mm-hmm.
He just was
lights out, man. Just,
absolutely, absolutely. Defensively too.
Ooh.
I thought the first half was excellent. I thought that the Seahawks, they were almost daring them to run the ball. It's a far cry, you know, from that team that you were really worried about their run defense all year long. In fact, the Seahawks were one of the better run offenses in the league. They were fifth or sixth in the league in being able to run the football, and Green Bay was just absolutely having none of it.
Clark and the Smith brothers was ready for anything, you know. And you know, the troubles Seattle had, they ran through like three or four running backs this year, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I know Procise got hurt. Chris Carson is their main guy. He got hurt. They ended up literally pulling Marshawn Lynch out of retirement. That's not an exaggeration. I mean, he was chilling. And in fact, I think he was doing what you were doing. They were talking about he was hosting like a tequila party before a Seahawks game 2 weeks before he got signed. So, you know, maybe –
that is the life.
Right. You never know, Gilbert. They might call you to stop the run. Marshawn.
Hey. You know what? I was a pretty good offensive lineman back in my day. I think I can get in there and mix it up now. That'd be my second life.
Yeah, play a little guard. Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I give them all they want, baby.
This was a prime quarterback matchup. I think – Rodgers was good as he's been since that Raiders game, efficient on third down. We'll talk about that in a second, but he did not. So get this. He did not throw an incompletion on any pass that went over 10 yards. So his incompletions were either short throws or throwaways. If he was airing it out, it was on the button, 6 for 6 on 10 plus yard throws for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns. That is that's eaten. And on the other side, Russell put on that Superman cape in the second half, and their best offense was almost no offense in the sense that they would just call a passing play, and if Russell didn't like it, there he went.
Yeah, man. I mean we can talk about some of the great quarterbacks nowadays. Russell is right up there, man. For all the praise that he do get, I still think he's underrated. That guy, man, and it was a homecoming for him. You know what I mean? So, you know, he wanted to show out in Wisconsin. And to be that guy and to be able to take over the game and try to win the game and say, hey, man, if y'all ain't going to do it, I'm going to do it. You know? That type of an attitude. But, oh, my God, you got to take your hat. I mean, you know, when great players come to town, man, you got to respect them. You got to take your hat off to them. Every time Barry Sanders stepped on Lambeau Field, we respected him. We took our hat off and talked to him. You know, same way if we ever went to Detroit. I mean, them type of guys, them type of players that can take over a game and change a game by themselves, like Reggie White, yeah. You got to respect them.
For sure. I mean, I was talking about this on Twitter yesterday. Yeah, I understand. I mean, I do. I get that you can hate Russell or you can hate playing against Russell, but you should not disrespect Russell because he is, if anything, underrated. I mean, he's that level of a guy, completely put their offense on his back And if he wasn't doing it with his arm, he was doing it with his feet. Yes, Metcalf and Lockett are good, but this Jacob Hollister guy is kind of a nobody at tight end. The guys that aren't Metcalf and Lockett are a struggle, as you saw that big drop in the fourth quarter there. And, yeah, and man, I just – they were they were coming. And that's – so what I want you to do here is kind of take your analyst hat off and put on the hat of a former Packer and a guy who is now a Packers fan and wants them to win. Are the nerves coming? Because, yeah, Green Bay is undefeated against Seattle at home, but that doesn't change any of the heartbreak of that NFC Championship game in 2014. It doesn't change any of the heartbreak of losing the game in 2015 in overtime to the Cards. I mean, there have been so many just gut-wrenching playoff losses, whether it's Favre throwing the pick in 07, the 09 thing where Rodgers gets drugged down by the face mask and they bring it back to the house in overtime. So many ways that the Packers fans have had their hearts broken. Are you getting nervous towards the end as Seattle starts to roll back into that game?
Yeah, man. I mean, you're a fool if you're not, man. I mean, you know, we sitting up there before the game watching Kansas City and them, and they jumped out on Kansas City so fast. But Kansas City has firepower, so they got back in the game. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking, you know, the way the weekend's going now, I'm like, oh, God, we got to get Russell. We got to get him. We got to get more heat on him. We can't get complacent. We took our foot off the gas. Just the fan talking now. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, oh, my God, come on, guys, you know? But it's that same additive that we've been having all year. Find a way to win. And that's what we did.
Yeah, went ugly, and that's certainly what they did, although what was not ugly was the third down excellence, and that's something that had the Packers have not been a great third down team this year. The numbers show it. My memory, you know, remembers it. It thinks it. This season has not been one where it's been third down, and I've been like, you know what, it's all good, because it hasn't necessarily been all good. What do you think they did well on third down? Was it the play calling? Was it just flat out the playmaking? I mean, was Rodgers on another level? You saw third downs at the goal line that got converted into touchdowns instead of kicking field goals on fourth. What went well on third down?
I think everybody dialed in on the execution of the third down play. You know, it goes back to preparation and practice. This is a very important game, because if you lose, you go home. So I'm pretty sure in the preparation that week that they really honed in on third down efficiency, because that is what wins games. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's been games this year. We 4-for-1, we go for it, we don't get it. Guy drops a pass here, guy drops a pass there. The third down efficiency in a game like that is crucial and winning games, and they showed up for that.
It is. And converting third downs is, and you know, you're a defender. You can attest to that. It's demoralizing. It's debilitating, especially third and six and longer. You feel like as a defense, you've done your job on first and second down. You're ready to go back, get some Gatorade, get the, you know, get those jackets on and sit on that heated bench. Not happening. You know, when a team goes 9-for-14 on third down, it's frustrating for a defense. It extends drives, turns punts into points, and that's the name of the game. The other guy, and this dude, you know, I got
dead.
It's tough, right? Because he's the highest paid tight end in football. His numbers, yeah. His numbers don't look anything like the highest paid tight end in football, but at the end of the day, man, he was awesome. He really was. And it wasn't just the one play that clinched the game. He was good all day long against his former team. Rodgers mentioned that. He said, this was big for Jimmy. Talk about your boy. 'Cause I know that you are, I don't want to say easier on Jimmy than most, but you are more appreciative of Jimmy than most.
I am, man, because, what we just got done talking about, the underdog. You know what I mean? Everybody forgot about how, what got him to where he is today. And when you got a chance to show that, and when you got a chance, you know, to believe in yourself and your teammates believe in you, and now you get a chance to show it, it's the best feeling in the world, man. You know, this guy, he got paid the big bucks and everybody's on his back and he in a slump or whatever you want to call it. Maybe he went and got some mojo or a new jewel, whatever he did. He need to do it again this week because the tight end could be key to winning games. And
which, of course, created, you know, the controversy, I guess, of the night. What did you think of the line, no line, first down, no first down? That was the big talking point at the end of the game.
Man, you know what? When things like that go down, you know, you can't do nothing about it. You can't do nothing about it. The referees have called the call. I mean, you can go back to when Jerry Rice fumbled in San Francisco, or the Yancey throw against Pittsburgh. I mean, it's there. You know, we gonna say he got it. Everybody else gonna say he didn't. So, what can you do? I'm going with he got it. Great, great job, Jimmy. Let's move on.
All right, Gilbert, thanks. We've been, it might not seem like to you, we've been fighting through some technical difficulties on this show, but we fought through it. We got to the end. We made sure that you guys got the Packers content that you need. Folks, we want to just thank you so much for listening to the show. We want to thank again our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. There are two big ways that you can support us here in this venture. The number one way being to tell a friend, tell 10 friends about the podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe. Make sure you leave that 5-star rating for us. It helps us show up higher and sooner when people are, you know, searching for that Packers content. That is so key for us to just have more people listening to the show. It's big time. And the other way is to become a VIP member over at Packer Report. And, hey, right now, the last day of the 2-for-1 special is going on. So you can get 2 months for $1 and try out our Packers coverage for, you know, all of this potential Super Bowl run and then well into draft season. And you can find out if being a VIP member at Packer Report is worth it. We sure think it is. Thanks, everybody, one last time, and go Pack, go.